97 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Independent Maine Senator Angus King today says he will oppose any support for Israel as long as the hunger crisis in Gaza endures. Senator King told reporters resolving the humanitarian situation in Gaza is within Israel's hands.
I'm through voting for support for Israel as long as there are starving children in Gaza that have been caused by Israel's action or inaction with regard to humanitarian relief.
President Trump has announced he plans to set up food centers there. Extreme heat is predicted up and down the East Coast, but the worst of it, the Southeast. ABC meteorologist Jeff Smith.
These heat advisories continue in the New York City area right through Wednesday, but this is such an extreme and wide-ranging heat wave across much of the central and eastern part of the country. We're talking St. Louis all the way down to Jackson, Mississippi, New Orleans, Savannah up to Raleigh, Memphis 114, Little Rock 111, Savannah 110, and we do not get much relief at all across the Southeast right through the latter part of the week.
This is ABC News. A federal judge is moving to block a portion of the GOP's One Big Beautiful Bill, which President Trump signed into law earlier this month that targets Planned Parenthood. ABC's Stephen Portnoy reports from Washington.
The massive tax policy bill included a provision that was written to prohibit Planned Parenthood from receiving any federal Medicaid funds, even when abortions aren't provided. In ordering the funds to keep flowing, Massachusetts-based federal judge Indira Talwani says the new law likely violates the Constitution in three ways. First, by stepping on Planned Parenthood's First Amendment rights. Second, by violating the Equal Protection Clause of the Fifth Amendment. And thirdly, by amounting to an unconstitutional bill of attainder, the kind of law that singles out an entity for punishment.
NASCAR's Bubba Wallace Sunday became the first black driver to win a major race on Indianapolis Motor Speedway's 2.5-mile oval. It's Wallace's third NASCAR Cup career victory and ended a 100-race winless streak. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
I love a day on the water with friends, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis sometimes holds me back. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
Teaching music is my passion, but my active psoriatic arthritis can limit me at times. Now I'm treating my joint symptoms with Skyrizi.
With Skyrizi, most people with plaque psoriasis saw 90% clearer skin at 4 months.
Or if you are an adult with active psoriatic arthritis, Skyrizi helps you move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
There's nothing like clearer skin.
There's nothing like better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jenkins back for the pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp in Green Bay, where Elgton Jenkins is back to work and in his new role on the offensive line at center. Now, the team had asked Jenkins to move from left guard to center in the offseason, but when they signed Aaron Banks from the 49ers to a $77 million contract, Jenkins' agent objected. Today, Jenkins, returning from a back injury suffered during weightlifting in May, says he's back and will play center on his current deal.
Right now, I'm just focused on the season going forward. Just being able to perform for the team and just getting our line right, offense right, and so we can be better this year than we was last year.
Today was the first practice in pads, and on just the third play from scrimmage, running back Marshawn Lloyd, a third-round pick last year out of USC, was hit so hard by defensive back Nate Hobbs, he fell to his knees and sat out the rest of the day. Baseball, Brewers and Cubs, game one of the divisional rivals, going at it tonight at American Family Field. We'll recap the game later tonight with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. As far as episodic TV goes, nothing gets me more excited than a well-done cop show. There have been two spinoffs so far from the Amazon Prime cop show Bosch, a show about a stubborn, uncompromising police detective played by Titus Welliver. In a new cop show, Welliver heads up the cast in Westies. According to Collider, Welliver plays Glenn Keenan, a Vietnam vet and gritty beat cop. The story is set in the early 80s in Hell's Kitchen in New York and follows the Westies, a real-life Irish street gang, as they try to carve out a piece of the action despite being a much smaller force than the Mafia's five families of New York. Welliver calls his character deeply corrupt and very dark, but also nuanced. Joining him in the cast are J.K. Simmons, Tom Brittany, Jessica Francis Duke, and just added additions Sarah Bulger and Stanley Morgan. The Westies will drop on MGM Plus sometime in 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight with showers and thunderstorms developing. Some could be severe with strong wind gusts and very heavy rainfall. Low near 70. Sunshine returns later tomorrow afternoon. A slight storm chance into the evening. High in the mid-80s. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, we're joined by Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And at 5 o'clock, I engage with Professor Mariel Barnes about violence against women, gender, and the Epstein scandal next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, hit me, cut again, man.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. I just want to welcome everybody to listening. We're really proud to bring you this weekly show, 5 days a week, featuring community members who are artists, activists, leaders. Native Roots Radio's unique platform where Indigenous voices are heard, stories are shared, and movements are amplified. And I have somebody that fits right into that description. We have Natasha Kingbird on, and I'm really pleased to have you on, Natasha. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Hello, bonjour.
Hey, really excited to have you on. Where are you right now?
So right now I'm in Milwaukee. I'm attending the Women's Are Sacred Conference that will be held on today. Well, today's registration, and then it'll start tomorrow until the 31st.
Can you talk a little bit about your organization, Mending the Sacred Hoop? Really awesome name, and tell us how it started and a little bit about you. Really excited to have you on.
Yes. So I work for Mending the Sacred Hoop. It's a domestic violence tribal coalition. It was formed, I believe, back in the early 80s, 90s. Conversations were happening about the domestic violence disparities that were happening in tribal communities. And so actually, it's a nonprofit organization. It's based out of Duluth, Minnesota. Right now, we are working from home, and our program helps the 11 tribal program, the 11 tribes that are based in Minnesota. And we also serve programs that serve majority of Native American women going through their shelters.
Yeah, that's so important. So it's really, it's difficult in a lot of senses too. We're such a small community and everybody knows each other. That must be difficult to really protect them too when you're helping them.
Yes, there's that factor of keeping people, you know, anonymous, keeping them hidden. And a lot of women are fleeing, you know, relationships that have affected their daily lives. And so working with the programs, I know a lot of the programs throughout the state of Minnesota work towards, you know, keeping their clients safe, and their confidentiality is one of their main priorities that shelters kind of look at.
Yeah, it's really interesting too for me, being a pet owner, and our pet is our family. Is it difficult to help and support our relatives that have pets?
So actually in Minnesota, I believe that there's a pet coalition, and you can look them up. I actually just learned about them at the Office of Justice Program symposium that they had in Brooklyn Center this past, I think it was in June. But there's actually a pet coalition. You can reach out and they try to find resources for your pet as well.
So I always like to talk about a call to action. Is there a website? Is there, how can people find more information about you? We have a vast amount of people in the community listening.
So right now, Mending the Sacred Hoop has the website on Facebook. Well, we have a Facebook page. We have an Instagram page. We also have a website. If you go to mshoop.org, our membership is free and you would receive like free trainings, emails, and updates on any updated legislation, conversations that are happening within the state of Minnesota. We are one of the native tribal coalitions within the state of Minnesota, along with the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yeah, we know them very well here. I'm in the Twin Cities, and what a great organization they are. And so are we having issues with funding, with the cuts that are happening, or are people able to donate and support your organization?
Yes, we do have a donation. If you go to our webpage, it brings you to our donate page. I do have a donate button on my email, but yes, we are always looking for donations. I know that Mending the Sacred Hoop, during COVID, they were, you know, working through all of the pandemic stuff, trying to keep their doors open. But I know that the domestic violence is separate from the sexual assault coalition, but we really want to focus on, you know, training and providing assistance to tribal programs that need extra support on, you know, policy or procedures, implementing new techniques to their clients. You know, I'm big on culture, so I like to teach a little bit about culture and making sure that they're rooted in values and traditions. But we're always looking for funding. I know that Mending the Sacred Hoop would appreciate some funding and help with some of the unallocated costs that are not written into our grants.
Well, it's amazing. One of the things I often wonder and I ask when we have organizations like yours on, is there a mending with the abuser? Now, that's kind of, that's kind of a hard question to ask, because we really don't want to minimize the person that's being abused and really work on their healing. But there's that other side too that is out there. How does that fit?
Well, I think that's a big part of healing. When we talk about the abuser, prior to my work here at Mending the Sacred Hoop, I worked at Northwest Indian Community Development Center as a reentry lead, and we facilitated men who batters intervention groups. I co-facilitated with Donald Fairbanks, and we facilitated the Family Peace Initiative curriculum, and it helped men kind of go over a 28 weeks course, I believe, and learn different tools to, you know, be in community, deal with their anger, do healing work. And I know that the Duluth model as well, they provided a batters intervention group. But, you know, my experience with that was bringing men into a group, about 18 to 20 men, and focusing on working on trying to heal from some of the traumas that they might have endured as a youth. And I think that incorporating, you know, our Sema and using our Apuagan and bringing in some of those extra spiritual helpers that help us when we're doing those work, we can get to the core of what they might be dealing with. And so I think that's a important factor. And I know that Mending the Sacred Hoop has reached out to different programs that are actually, you know, implementing groups for men who batter.
Wow, that's really interesting. And that's really a powerful statement that you just said there. Do you mind, we're going to take a quick break. Do you mind jumping on and talking a little more in another segment?
Yes.
Well, this is awesome. We have Natasha Kingbird mending the Sacred Hoop, and we're talking about healing and ways about it and also helping our relatives that really need help. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break. Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
When was the last time you had your roof inspected for extreme weather and hail damage? This is Chad, owner of AM 950, to talk about the exterior construction company I trust, Snap Construction. If you've noticed new roofing projects in your neighborhood, your home was likely hit by hail last summer and experienced damage. Snap Construction is helping homeowners like you, and they're the roofing specialists I trust. They are the most well-reviewed contractor in the Twin Cities and have a ton of positive customer reviews from homeowners just like you. Even better, Snap Construction's installations are backed by a lifetime warranty, so you know you're dealing with a qualified roofing expert. You want to work with a company that will be here for a long time after the work is done. Snap Construction has handled thousands of claims and will help you through the process. Do yourself a favor and get a free roofing inspection so you have the facts and peace of mind you deserve. Call Snap Construction today at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP. Or visit snapconstruction.com.
Oho, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, we have our friend Natasha Kingbird here of Mending the Sacred Hoop, and we're kind of talking about, you know, healing and how we can protect and help our relatives. Natasha, what would you like to tell our audience that it's listening out there, something that you think that should really be said about this and also your organization?
Well, I think, you know, our organization really works with the membership program so they can provide the best care to the people that are coming into their shelters and actually just giving them information that they can use as tools to help guide them in the right direction. And a lot of these ladies that have been in this movement have been in there for years, and sometimes it's a good refresher for you know, women to kind of go over different things. And you know, nowadays we have a lot more you know, people that are being affected by abuse, domestic violence and sexual assault. There's also like sex trafficking, there's stalking, there's teen dating violence, and you know, there's a lot of resources out there that help people. I know that I just created a resource list, and I was amazed by how many resources there are across the United States and Turtle Island. We also have, you know, phone links that you can call, 1-800 numbers. I think one is like Strong Native Helpline. And if you just Google it and you go to, you know, domestic violence resources, that will bring up a lot of resources for anybody that may be experiencing violence or sexual assault. I know that in the past, working with Native American women coming home from incarceration, and a lot of those women never reported what was happening just because of the stigma that happens in our communities and within our communities. But, you know, there is people out there that will help you and try to show you the way out of those kinds of relationships or those kinds of situations that you're in. I read about the Inspire Award that the Violence Free Minnesota hosts yearly, and, you know, just reaching out and making that extra connection and stepping into a place where you might be able to save somebody by going that extra step is really what's needed for community that might be enduring that kind of situation. So just going the extra step.
Where can you get that list that you talk about? Like, is it Strong Hearts phone line? Is that what
Native? Strong Hearts Native Helpline. I believe that's on, you know, the website. When I was creating our resource list, I just really just Googled Native American resources for people that are in domestic violence situations or sexual assault situations.
Yeah, I know we've had Strong Hearts on many times, and one of the interesting things is that they're so anonymous, and they're open a lot longer now too. So everyone take a look at that. So I always want to, because this is your boots on the ground, I always want to ask my guests, like you, Natasha, what do you do for yourself? How do you keep, I don't know if the word's sane, but spiritually fit to be able to help people?
I put out my tobacco. I love making moccasins for people. I attended my first Madewin ceremony last week, so I really try hard to step into a place where I can feel my spirit. I go to powwows. I attend drum ceremonies fall and spring. Our family is really big on singing. The Kingbird Singers. Kingbird. Yeah, and so I sit on two drums, Jawonung Banasi and Minoba Maduziwan, which all come from, you know, Panema, where I'm from. So I really enjoy being in those spaces and taking that time for myself to heal. And sometimes we think about healing, it might take years, it might take a day, but I think if you're living a good life and, you know, filling your heart and letting go of some of those negative things that you might have carried, you know, you'll get there. And so those are the things that I try to practice. I currently take care of my niece's kids. I actually, like, my kids are growing older. They're all moving out of the house. You know, I have five that have graduated, and I have one son who's actually really big on fishing and learning how to track the traditional things that, you know, is needed for our young men. So just being a part of that and seeing my nieces and nephews be happy helps fill my heart with joy.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. And that's a plethora of things. Wow. Again, it's got to be hard to see people go through this. So are you able to see people kind of get your help, but also come through the other side and work on their healing?
Yes, I've seen that. Mending the Sacred Hoop, we have some direct service funds. You know, it varies year to year. But I do see people getting their life back. I see people getting their children back. I see people, you know, graduating from college and, you know, finding long-term employment. And so when I see people being appreciative for, you know, something that I might have helped them with just a little bit, you know, I know that when they find their gift and their passion to stay sober or step into a place where they don't need to rely on, you know, somebody. I feel good about it, and I'm proud of them, and you know, that's their story, and I never try to step in a place where, you know, I'm taking away any of their story, and I'm just a helper.
Yeah, a conduit to the creator and all good things. That's very cool, Natasha. What else can we talk about? Because you're very well-spoken, and I feel like we've talked about a lot of things. What else would you like to talk about?
Well, so we help organize the MMIW 218 group up in Bemidji. So it's a group of 8 to 10 women. We organize events, you know, twice a year. And sometimes we'll hold like healing spaces for women and families that have gone missing. And, you know, that's something that I've been really active in and involved in. And under the scope of Mending the Sacred Hoop, we've been attending events throughout the state of Minnesota on missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. Me and my daughter actually went out to Elko, Nevada, and was able to present in their community, the Shoshone community in Elko, Nevada. So we did a presentation out there on the intersection of domestic violence and MMIR. It was more of discussion and kind of like answered some of the questions. Why do we wear red? Why was this formed? Why is this movement here? This past year, I've been directly impacted. Well, the past few years, been kind of really directly impacted by losing a loved one, loss of missing and, you know, missing persons. And so I think with being in our community and being able to step forward and help other families like through some of the hardest times in their lives is just something that community does. We step up and we go in a space to help those families during this tough time. And so I think that's really important. And I know right now I'm sitting on the Missing and Murdered Task Force Advisory Board with the Department of Justice office that was just opened in the Twin Cities. And, you know, it's a big thing for our communities. And I think, you know, there's so many unanswered questions out there that people have, you know, for missing and murdered. And I know that the office is limited on funds too. So, you know, I think a lot of these programs are really just getting through what's on their goals and objectives and their deliverables. But sometimes we forget about, you know, that healing that needs to take place. And so we try to have cedar ceremonies, and we try to have like talking circles or bring healers their way and help with just little bit costs that, you know, they're unable to cover.
Wow. Wow. You know, so you're a doer, and I think we have a mutual friend that's Guadalupe that's going to be a mover and a shaker again back here in the Twin Cities and all over the state of Minnesota.
Yes. I've known Guadalupe for the past few years. She's amazing. She's a strong voice that we need in the office. And I think that with her experience leading Violence Free Minnesota, she'll be able to do a great job. You know, she's actually the one who gave me a call today and was like, are you available to talk? And I left my home around 5 this morning, and I picked up one of my good friends in Mille Lacs. So she rode over with us. And of course my daughter's in the back seat, but she's back there too. but just having those good conversations and, you know, helps us get to that healing space. And I know that Guadalupe has a lot of energy. Right now, my current executive director, Cinnamon Banky, has been holding it down with Mending the Sacred Hoop, trying to just push forward on some of these issues that we have.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
ABC Maine News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Independent Maine Senator Angus King today says he will oppose any support for Israel as long as the hunger crisis in Gaza endures. Senator King told reporters resolving the humanitarian situation in Gaza is within Israel's hands.
I'm through voting for support for Israel as long as there are starving children in Gaza that have been caused by Israel's action or inaction with regard to humanitarian relief.
President Trump has announced he plans to set up food centers there. Extreme heat is predicted up and down the East Coast, but the worst of it, the Southeast. ABC meteorologist Jeff Smith.
These heat advisories continue in the New York City area right through Wednesday, but this is such an extreme and wide-ranging heat wave across much of the central and eastern part of the country. We're talking St. Louis all the way down to Jackson, Mississippi, New Orleans, Savannah up to Raleigh, Memphis 114, Little Rock 111, Savannah 110, and we do not get much relief at all across the Southeast right through the latter part of the week.
This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jenkins back for the pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp in Green Bay, where Elgton Jenkins is back to work and in his new role on the offensive line at center. Now, the team had asked Jenkins to move from left guard to center in the offseason, but when they signed Aaron Banks from the 49ers to a $77 million contract, Jenkins' agent objected. Today, Jenkins, returning from a back injury suffered during weightlifting in May, says he's back and will play center on his current deal.
Right now, I'm just focused on the season going forward, just being able to perform for the team and just getting our O-line right, offense right, and so we can be better this year than we was last year.
Today was the first practice in pads, and on just the third play from scrimmage, running back Marshawn Lloyd, a third-round pick last year out of USC, was hit so hard by defensive back Nate Hobbs, he fell to his knees and sat out the rest of the day. Baseball, Brewers and Cubs, game one of the divisional rivals, going at it tonight at American Family Field. We'll recap the game later tonight with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Phineas and Ferb are coming back in 2026. Season 5 is currently on the air, but it's being called a revival. At Comic-Con last week in San Diego, the producers celebrated said revival of the Disney show, which launched 10 new episodes June 5th, and announced that the next batch of episodes will drop next year. Phineas and Ferb debuted in 2007, but went off the air in 2015. The USA Network has announced it has canceled Resident Alien, despite the show carving out a nice following over its four seasons. The announcement was made right before the season 4 finale last week. The sci-fi comedy is about an alien who is also a doctor in a small town and tries to conceal his identity. The show is based on a book of the same title. Executive producer Chris Sheridan says he wasn't totally caught off guard by the surprise, and for what it's worth, says the season 4 finale episode is his favorite of the whole series. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight with showers and thunderstorms developing. Some could be severe with strong wind gusts and very heavy rainfall. Low near 70. Sunshine returns later tomorrow afternoon. A slight storm chance into the evening. High in the mid-80s. It's 82 right now.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week, Mr. Paul Vandenplas.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special live show from Six Springs Farm in southwest Wisconsin as we talk to NFL and Badger Hall of Famer Joe Thomas, along with Brady Ewing as my guest co-host.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Anine. I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with Dr. Stately, who is the CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and always great to spend some time with you. Did you make it okay with the storm last night?
Oh my gosh, that was a crazy storm. It was huge.
Yeah, well, like, I'm glad you made it back. You were coming from the Dakotas, right?
Yeah, from South Dakota. We were in like Rosebud for 3 days. And then we swung through Crow Creek on the way home. Crow Creek Res, where my son's sister lives.
Very cool.
With their grandmother. She's she had a baby shower. She's pregnant with twins.
Oh.
Two little girls, chickpas.
So, uh-huh. Yeah, you have a big sacred family there with the twin boys and now the relatives with the twins. And then you know me with twins and I have grand twins. And oh my gosh, it's twins everywhere.
I have a lot of twins in my family on both sides, on my family side and also on my partner's side. So. All those little chickpas. It's like a blessing.
That is a blessing. So I gotta ask you, how are things going with the clinic? I know you're giving us some updates every once in a while, and I've been to the Four Sisters Market every week, and I get to look down the street and see the work being done. It must be really exciting.
It's very exciting. Yeah, we keep making more progress every week. Like, I think last week was a little bit challenging. Last couple of weeks were some challenges with, like, just, you know, the impact of rain and a few other things. Mm-hmm. But we're on schedule. I think we're actually a little bit ahead of schedule. But very exciting. It's exciting to see that big crane. Did you notice the flags on the crane?
Yeah, we talked about that the last show. It's just like, hey, put those flags upside down. Oh,
wow. Well, I mean, we did talk about this, I think. And I can't remember if we talked about it online but not. But actually, they had like the American flag up there by itself. And then we were like, oh, God, okay, put the Minnesota flag at least. We talked about like the AIM flag, but that also was like... probably a non-starter, but that now up there is the American flag and then NAC's insignia, our flag.
Oh,
that
nice.
That little tiny white one that's much smaller than the American flag is ours.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, if you need an AIM flag, I got an extra one. Ho-wa.
We just might take it, actually. Yeah, so.
Yeah, well, tell me, look, God, be an honor.
We talked about putting an AIM flag up there.
Yeah.
And then if you look at the crane is really huge. It's long. It's like, you know, super long. I was like, well, technically we could probably put all 11 tribal flags like in each one of those little squares.
Well, you know, it'd be cool is if you put the flags up of the tribes that financially supported you. Ho-wah.
Yeah, that would be great.
The
two. No. I'm sure we got support in other ways, you know, like some folks didn't give financial support, but they support us in other ways on the project. I mean, so, you know, but we're going to be raising funds for the project for a few years still.
Yeah, well, whatever we can do here in Native Roots Radio, please let us help you for sure. We can have a dunk tank or something, maybe. Dr. Stately,
I was thinking about putting you in a dunk tank. Perfect weather for you to be in one right here on Franklin Avenue.
I could wear one of those loincloths they have in the movies. Oh, wow.
Oh, geez, yeah. I don't know. We do want people to come.
Hey, now. Hey.
Just kidding. No, so, yeah.
I see that you've been you're part of the ambassadors mental or NABS health ambassador. Can you talk a little bit about
Native,
that?
Yeah, the Native American boarding school projects has a
yes.
ambassadors program, and it's comprised, it's me and I think five other elders, I think, or four other elders, technically, providing support to a project that they're doing that's focused around engaging and utilizing the arts in healing, you know, from boarding school trauma. Examples, there's going to be a series of workshops that that NABS has hired to lead art workshops for folks in the community who have been harmed or hurt or have been impacted by boarding school experiences as survivors, and I would imagine also their decedents. And I think it's a really beautiful project. I was asked by a colleague and a woman I know, Serene, to be on their advisory board. And it's really like exciting. I think in this first iteration, I get to sit in on at least two or three of the workshops and, you know, be a participant, but also sort of kind of give, you know, support to them to in the implementation of it. It's just exciting. And I think it's a really beautiful project. It's wonderful because I think one of the things that we know this, I think, intuitively and, you know, but we don't often speak about it in really concrete terms. But, you know, a lot of our, like our traditional practices, like making regalia, beading, you know, crafting, those kinds of things, all these things that we sort of, you know, that we constitute as art forms, you know, in Western culture. These are just, things that we've done since the beginning of time. I was having an experience. I had a conversation with this person who I said, you know, we don't, art isn't something that we just make and hang on the wall, although we do that now contemporaneously, but, you know, as historically, we made everything around us and everything that we wore and everything that we utilized, we put beauty into it, right? You know, it's artistic and beautiful because we understand the importance and the function of embracing beauty and having that be a part of our everyday life, reminding us, and it's a way of reminding ourselves of the beauty around us and the gifts that Creator has given us. You know, it's a way of reminding us to be grateful for that, the fact that we're here and we have abundance. And so that's the function of art in our historically and traditionally in our culture. You know, we all kinds of things, you know, like our floral designs that everybody loves and think they're really beautiful. Mm-hmm. Those are ways that we kept track of, codified and transmitted knowledge around traditional plant medicines and those kinds of things. They are both beautiful, and they serve a form. They serve an intention. They serve a teaching tool, and the restoration of and the continuation of our knowledge, and also making sure that that knowledge is passed down to other forms of storytelling. That's not just oral storytelling, but actually, you know, through pictographs and things like that. So it's just kind of like it's an opportunity to sort of embrace this idea, like we can use these things that we've been given since the beginning of time to apply to our own healing individually, but collectively in workshops. These are things that we've been doing in at NAC, even in a lot of our traditional healing programming work that we do. And we have a beating group that we do at the NAC at the Outpatient Mental Health Center and stuff like that. So.
That this last 3 minutes that you talked were very heavy. That was beautiful. Seriously.
Oh, thank you.
chapter.
I didn't intend it to be heavy. I intended it to be
maybe I'm just too emotional, but that really hit me.
Well, I was thinking about, like, you know, when I was younger, when I was a younger kid, and I was really struggling in my life as a, like, an adolescent. Like, I would say, like, when I was, like, 10, 11, 12, 13, all the way up until, like, I went to college around 16. And I wrote a lot. I was part of this group called Redwood Song. That was me, Sandy, Sandra King, Chuck Robertson, and Sherry Benton-Benet.
Wow.
Who was married to Eddie Benton-Benet at the time. And I was, we kind of all, how it happened was the four of us all worked at Red Circle, the Red Schoolhouse in St. Paul.
Right.
And Sandy and I together worked together on a quarterly magazine that Red Schoolhouse published. And then the four of us just sort of realized, like, Sherry was an incredible singer. She had a beautiful voice. I thought she was, like, I was so, like, you know, taken by her. We're still connected to each other through Facebook, but I was just impressed by it there. I was like, good Lord, she's a better singer than Buffy St. Marie. And my uncle Chuck Robertson, who worked at the Indian Center and also did some stuff at Red Schoolhouse, played guitar and sang. And then Sandy wrote poetry, and I read poetry. And so we were, like, kind of like this performance group. And that was a part of me that the participation of that really led to helping me sort of work through a lot of the challenges that I had. I got out of boarding school at the age of 11 and 12, and, like, my adolescence was really, really filled with a lot of struggle trying to make sense of that and writing and performing and talking about it was really helpful.
Wow. Well, I had no idea. Again, this is amazing. This is your life, Dr. Stately. Hey, stay with us for another segment. And this has been a beautiful show here. Thank you so much. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wah.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGDI. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACDI.org.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res. The month of July is National Carpet Cleaning Month, and because of that, Zero Res is offering a purchase of 3 rooms of carpet cleaned. Get 1 room free plus $50 off an air duct cleaning. Maybe you're having a barbecue for the 4th of July. We'll also have Aquatennial coming up in Minneapolis later this month. You want to make sure your home is fresh and clean for your friends and family coming over to celebrate. If your carpet's looking more like a snowbank in late March, muddy, crunchy, and kind of mysterious, it's time to call Zero Res, don't you know? These folks come in with their fancy schmancy ZR water. It's like regular water, but with a master's degree in cleanliness. Zero Res can handle it all. Carpets, tiles, rugs, upholstery, air ducts. Basically, every surface in your home can be Zero Resified. So it's time to call the cleaning pros at Zero Res today. Schedule your appointment at ZeroResMinnesota.com or call 952-ZERO-RES and ask for the AM 950 special. Backward or forward spells the same. Zero Res.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, we'd like to start out our last segment of the show with a howl for our relatives, the wolves. Let's give a big howl out there. Howl!
Howl!
Thank you, Dr. Stately. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, CEO and president of Native American Community Clinic. And I don't think you're president. Let me take that back, because that's you are CEO and the main man. Hoo-wah.
Yeah, I mean, I got the title of president and CEO, but yeah. And actually, we see executive officer now. We dropped the chief a while ago. So
the chief, yeah.
We dropped the chief across the board. Everybody lost their title of chief.
Well, that's cool. I was at a parent committee meeting years and years ago, and not knowing what's going on, you know, I mean, kind of like now, but in a different way, I was talking to the parent committee, the Native Parent Committee, and I said, you know, we have to circle the wagons. And everyone looked at me and was like, oh my God, what the heck am I saying? And they all looked at me, thought I was joking because they knew I was a joker, but it was just like, oh, well, let me take that back. It's like all these terms, where the hell they come from?
Yeah, well, you know, just, you know, what's her name? Yeah, there's a lot of like those, what do they call them? I guess they're just like things that we've adopted over the years, you know, like low man on the totem pole. I remember when somebody said to me, like, oh, are you just the low man on the totem pole? I was like, actually, if you knew something about Indians, you'd know that the low man on the totem pole is actually the leader.
Well,
and yes, I am actually the low man on the totem pole.
Well, and what's funny, too, when it comes to, like, generic Native terms, you had a school in St. Paul that kind of had, you know, I was always threatened as a young kid that they'd send me to Totem Town because I was acting up, and they had a big totem pole there. And it's like, we don't have totem poles here as Plains Indians. It was just
our woodlands, and, even. Yeah. Like, you know, that's not something, not our culture. It's, you know, it's like just about it. You know, it's like, just, it's the nature of, it's the nature of systemic racism, right? Where, like, you know, you only see the things that you want to see, and you only, like, you know, you pay attention to the things that stand out or the things that everybody kind of talks about. You don't dive deeper into sort of kind of trying to build a sense of knowledge and understanding about actually the people that live near you and around you. I mean, you know, everybody loves natives, which is actually, this makes me funny, and this cracks me up. I say this all the time when people walk up to me and be like, oh, I just love Indians, or I love Native people. And Sandy King, who was a friend, a longtime friend and colleague and collaborator in Red Word and Song, and we also worked at she was the editor of the Circle newspaper when I was working there as a young man. But one of the poems she wrote, and she would recite in our things, where she would say, you know, one of the things she would do in our events, she had a song or a poem, and I don't remember the name of the poem, but I remember this one line because I thought it was really, really witty and also very creative and also very telling. The line was something like, don't tell me you love Indians, even I know if you were dating. And I was like, yes, that tracks. Right.
And
and then the other, you know, I think about, you know, that reminds me of also the line from Marcy Rendon's poem called "What's an Indian Woman to Do?" Do you know that poem?
No.
I was at a reading, and it's called a poem. She has a collection of poetry. You can buy that book. I believe at Birchbark Books, but it was one of my favorite poems of hers. And she says, "What's an Indian woman to do when the white women are more Indian than you?" And it reminds me of, like, you know, like the people who sort of like they hang around Indians, or they marry into Native families, or they've been around Indians for a period of time, or they sort of like they read a book or two, you know, by, you know, Marianne Williamson or somebody else who's, you know, a new ager. And then they assume, and they through sort of like, you know, I think probably possibly good intentions, but also like they don't dive deeper into sort of really beginning to understand and know the culture as much. But they do these things in these situations where, like, you know, we think that all Indians are alike. We all wore headdresses, and we all, you know, had teepee with totem poles outside of our homes, and we all did a thing. And what is problematic about that is that, like, you actually don't take the time to get to know the people that live in and around your community, in and around where you live and where you socialize and where you spend time, and you spend time with them. If you don't actually take the time to know them, then they're nothing more than just a curio. You know, it's the same thing as kind of collecting, you know, oriental rugs and putting them on the wall. And it's the same thing as, you know, collecting those little eggs, those little stackable eggs, or all those other things. And the thing that's problematic about that is that it dehumanizes us and impersonalizes us, right? And when you when you don't take the time to get to know people and actually develop relationships, it makes it easier to dehumanizing, it makes it easier to do things like, you know, deport them and their children out of the country. It makes it easier for you to enact cultural and actual physical genocide. And so part of it is just so, like, making sure that we tell people, like, you know, if you want authenticity and you want a real relationship and you want to actually know people, spend time with them and get to know who they are and what their culture is and what their specific ways of practicing those things are. Understand that and have a better understanding and a strong understanding of it. And that's actually a really beautiful foundation to build a relationship on.
Well, I blame all those old movies. And there was a documentary that came out many years ago, about 2009, called Real Indians. And it was funny, they talked about the reason why they wore what they did was the headbands and everything was to keep the wig on. And it didn't have anything to do with its representation of where the natives came from.
Well, I remember, absolutely. And I mean, so much of, like, so many of the things that have become sort of normalized in our culture are also, some of them are byproducts of the things that we had to do to adapt to sort of the forces of colonization within our within our daily lives that are around us, right? An example is, I remember somebody once told me that, you know, there was a day when we didn't, like, you know, we didn't dance the way that we dance today, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. We didn't, there was no such thing as fancy dancing, and, you know, and you know, we had a different way in which we sort of, like, danced and had and held in that space. But as time evolved and things evolved and the influence of colonization, we, you know, fancy dancing was something that was created to sort of, like, you know, entertain the white people, you know. So they'd come into our communities and watch, and they'd spend time and they'd spend money and they'd cultivate, you know, they'd invest in our communities a little bit.
It went away with the dinosaur clan. Oh,
sort of, yes, you know. And, you know, nowadays they go to powwows and they spend $15 on an Indian taco and they have no clue that it only costs 10 cents to make it. That's capitalism at its finest.
Like I said, want to buy a t-shirt? I got a t-shirt on right now. Hey, Dr. Stately, thank you so
much. Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our Tuesday show, Pat McBride, author of The Luckiest Boy in the World, joins us at 7:35.
And going to the Brewers game to see the Cubs, and I'll be wearing my new Brewers t-shirt.
Can't wait.
Listen to them weekday mornings, 6 till 8.
It's a party on the patio at the Lazy Oaf Lounge, and you're invited every Tuesday at 5:30. It's just Merle and a girl, and Thursdays on the patio feature singer-songwriter Shelly Faith.
Well, hey, bartender, won't you pour me another?
Music starts at 5:30. It's live music on the patio at the Lazy Oaf Lounge every Tuesday and Thursday. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Find specials, menus, and more at LazyOafLounge.com.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Details are emerging in the hours leading up to Saturday's random stabbing attack at a Michigan Walmart that left 11 people injured. ABC's Rena Roy.
This is not his first run-in with the law. Police had been searching for 42-year-old Bradford James Gilley actually the day before this attack. They say that they were actively looking for him to take him into custody, but they couldn't find him because he's homeless, and it's unclear what exactly that was about.
In 2016, Gilley was accused of smashing a cemetery vault. Emmett County court records show he was found not guilty, by reason of insanity. Israel is halting fighting in Gaza to allow distribution of food. Gaza's Hamas-controlled health ministry says 147 people have died of malnutrition in Gaza. Idaho GOP Senator Jim Risch told reporters President Trump would like to see aid delivered more efficiently.
The fault of all this is Hamas. You got to start there. They've just made life miserable for the people.
This is ABC News.